Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Xcel Energy second quarter 2012 earnings conference call. During today's presentation, all parties will be in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, the conference will be open for questions. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touchtone phone. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the star followed by the 2. If you're using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before making your selection. This conference is being recorded today, August 2nd, 2012. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Paul Johnson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to Xcel Energy's second quarter 2012 earnings release conference call. With me today are Ben Fowke, Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer, Teresa Madden, Senior Vice President, Chief Financial Officer, Dave Sparby, Senior Vice President and Revenue Group President, Scott Walensky, Senior Vice President and General Counsel, George Tyson, Vice President and Treasurer, and Jeff Savage, Vice President and Controller. Today, we will provide you with an update on recent business developments, discuss second quarter results, and update you on our 2012 guidance. Please note that there are slides that accompany today's call, which are available on our webpage. In addition, we will also post a short video at our website with Teresa Madden summarizing our results. We encourage you to check it out. As a reminder, some of our comments may contain forward-looking information. Significant factors that could cause results to differ from those anticipated are described in our earnings release and our filings with the SEC. I will now turn the call over to Ben.
Thanks, Paul, and good morning. Today we reported second quarter earnings of 38 cents per share, compared with 33 cents per share in 2011. New electric rates in Colorado, combined with warmer than normal June weather across our service territory and continued strong expense control, led to our solid second quarter results. As a result, we remain on track to deliver 2012 earnings in the lower half of our earnings guidance range of $1.75 to $1.85 per share. Teresa will discuss our quarterly results and earnings guidance in greater detail in a few moments. I'll now provide you a few recent developments, starting with an operational update. I'm pleased to report that our operating systems performed very well throughout the recent period of hot weather across our service territories. Record temperatures drove new peak demands in several states with only minimal service interruptions. In addition to the record heat, numerous severe storms occurred in our northern service territory. Excellent response planning and performance during system outage events minimized customer impacts, and our crews performed their work safely under difficult conditions. In addition to reliability, our efforts to provide value to our customers are also reflected in two recently proposed transactions. This summer, we agreed to purchase the Brush assets for $75 million. The Brush assets consist of three gas-fired generating units with a total capacity of 237 megawatts. These plants currently provide energy and capacity to PSCo under purchase power agreements that are set to expire in 2017 and 2022. While smaller, this transaction is very similar to our acquisition of generation assets from Calpine in late 2010, which provided benefits to both customers and investors. The Brush acquisition has many positive attributes, including saving our customers money beginning in the first year. Additionally, owning these peaking plants will give us greater control over our resources. Purchase is subject to various regulatory approvals, including the Colorado Commission. We anticipate this transaction will close in early 2013. We've also asked the Commission to consider our request to retire at the end of 2013 Arapahoe Unit 4, a 109-megawatt coal-fired power plant. Previously, we planned to switch this unit to natural gas. We have proposed replacing the retired unit with a PPA. One final item before I turn the call over to Teresa. As you know, in December 2011, NSP Minnesota filed a request to defer incremental 2012 property taxes, or alternatively, that a property tax rider be approved. In June, the Minnesota Commission voted to deny our request for deferred accounting for incremental property taxes and also denied our request for a property tax rider. Despite our disappointment in their decision, we believe the regulatory compact in Minnesota remains constructive. We felt our circumstances merited deferred accounting treatment. However, the Commission ultimately ruled that this request did not meet the strict requirement for deferral. As a result, we'll continue to expense the full $24 million of incremental property taxes in 2012, resulting in a drag of approximately 3 cents per share on our 2012 earnings. Now, we considered accelerating the filing of our 2013 Minnesota electric rate case so that we could implement interim rates in late 2012 to help offset the impact of increased property taxes, lower sales, and added investments in Minnesota. However, based on our continued success managing O&M expenses, and with the help from warmer-than-normal weather in June and July, we decided to continue our plans, which anticipate a Minnesota electric rate case filing in early November. So with that, I'll turn the call over to Teresa.
Thanks, Ben, and good morning. Today, I will discuss second quarter results, provide an update on our regulatory calendar, discuss our financing plans, and update you on our 2012 earnings guidance. Let's begin by reviewing our second quarter results at each of our four operating companies. Earnings at PSCo increased 5 cents per share for the second quarter, due primarily to an electric rate increase effective in May 2012, lower O&M expenses, and warmer June weather. The increases were partially offset by decreased wholesale revenue due to the expiration of a long-term power agreement with Black Hills Corporation. Earnings at NSP Minnesota were flat for the quarter. SPS earnings increased 1 cent per share for the second quarter. New rate increases in New Mexico and Texas, effective in January 2012, were partially offset by higher depreciation expense and property taxes. Second quarter earnings at NSP Wisconsin decreased 1 cent per share due to higher O&M expenses, partially offset by rate increases, effective in January 2012, and warmer summer weather. I will now discuss some of the key drivers that affected the income statement, beginning with retail electric margin. Our second quarter electric margin increased $44 million. Primary drivers of the higher margin were $25 million from new rate increases in several states, but most significantly in Colorado, and $21 million from the estimated impact of weather. These positive items were partially offset by lower firm wholesale revenues due to the expiration of a long-term agreement with Black Hills Corporation and other less significant items. Our quarterly weather-normalized retail electric sales grew a 0.5%, having a negligible positive impact on electric margin. Year-to-date weather-normalized retail electric sales grew 0.4%. However, weather-normalized sales actually declined 0.2% when you remove the benefit of one additional day of sales due to leap year. We continue to forecast flat sales growth for 2012. Turning to expenses, we continue to successfully manage O&M expenses in an effort to help offset some of the headwinds we faced in 2012. We began implementing O&M reduction initiatives in January to help offset the impact of lower than forecasted sales, warm winter weather, and the denial of our request for interim rates in Colorado. As a result of these efforts, our O&M expenses were essentially flat on both a quarterly and year-to-date basis. We continue to forecast 2012 O&M expenses to increase up to 1%. This compares to our original expectation for a 3-4% increase. However, continued warm weather may put upward pressure on our O&M target. Other taxes increased approximately $7.1 million, or 7.7%, largely due to increased property taxes in Minnesota, following the denial of our deferred accounting request. As a reminder, we are deferring incremental property taxes in Colorado as a result of our recently approved multi-year plan. I'll now provide an update on several regulatory proceedings. In June, NSP Wisconsin filed a request to increase electric rates by $39.1 million, or 6.7%, and to increase natural gas rates by $5.3 million, or 4.9%. New rates are expected to be effective in January 2013. The electric rate filing was based on a 2013 forecast test year, 10.4% ROE, an equity ratio of 52.5%, and an average 2013 electric rate base of approximately $790 million. The natural gas request was solely due to a proposal to recover the initial costs associated with the environmental MGP cleanup in Ashland. A commission decision is anticipated during the fourth quarter of 2012. In June 2011, NSP Minnesota filed a request with the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission to increase South Dakota electric rates by $14.6 million, effective in 2012. The request was based on a 2010 historic test year, adjusted for known and measurable changes, a return on equity of 11%, a rate base of $323 million, and an equity ratio of 52.48%. In June 2012, the South Dakota Commission authorized a rate increase of approximately $8 million based on an ROE of 9.25%, an equity ratio of 53%, and full cost recovery for the Nobles Wind Project, which had been a contested issue in the proceeding. We are clearly disappointed in the authorized ROE granted in South Dakota. Nevertheless, we'll continue to seek improved returns, and to that end, we filed a 2012 electric rate case in South Dakota in late June, requesting a $19.4 million increase in electric rates. The request is based on a 2011 historic test year, adjusted for known and measurable changes for 2012 and 13, a 10.65% ROE, a 53% equity ratio, and rate base of about $370 million. We anticipate a commission ruling in late 2012 or early 2013, with rates effective in early 2013. One last rate-related proceeding I want to mention is a request for approval of our investment in Smart Grid City in Colorado. As part of its 2010 electric rate case, PSCo requested recovery of the revenue requirements associated with our $45 million capital investment and $4 million of annual O&M costs incurred to develop and operate our smart grid project in Boulder. In early 2011, the Colorado Commission allowed partial recovery of the project, totaling approximately $28 million of the capital costs and all of the O&M costs. In December 2011, PSCo requested commission approval for the recovery of the remaining capital investment in Smart Grid. A decision is expected in the third quarter of 2012. The decision will not change the terms of the multi-year plan, but would provide assurance of future recovery of these costs. Looking ahead, we continue to consider plans to file several additional rate cases in the second half of 2012. Including electric rate cases in North Dakota, Texas, New Mexico, and a Colorado gas case. In addition, in November, we plan to file an electric rate case in Minnesota based on a 2013 test year. This would allow for the implementation of interim rates in January. We'll then consider options for pursuing a multi-year rate plan similar to what we achieved in Colorado. The Minnesota Commission is considering a process to establish parameters for such a plan, and we intend to actively participate. I'd now like to update you on our financing plans for the remainder of 2012. In July 2012, we entered into amended five-year credit agreements with the Syndicate of Banks, replacing the previous four-year credit agreement. The amended credit agreements have substantially the same terms and conditions. However, with an improvement in pricing and extension of maturity from March 2015 to July 2017. Our 2012 financing program continues to develop as planned. During the second quarter, we issued $100 million of first mortgage bonds at SPS. This quarter, we plan to issue $800 million of first mortgage bonds at both NSP Minnesota and PSCo. We also plan to issue approximately $100 million of first mortgage bonds at NSP Wisconsin during the second half of the year. Financing plans are subject to change depending upon capital expenditures, internal cash generation, market conditions, and other factors. In a challenging year marked by warm winter weather, tepid electric sales, and some regulatory decisions that worked against us, we're proud of our efforts designed to deliver 2012 EPS within our guidance range. taking early measures to reduce O&M expense, and securing approval of the multi-year plan in Colorado demonstrate our ability to consistently deliver on our financial objectives. Since 2005, we've established a strong track record, and we remain committed to delivering 2012 earnings within our guidance range. That concludes my prepared remarks. Operator, we will now take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question today, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touch tone phone. And if you'd like to withdraw your question, press the star followed by the 2. And if you're using speaker equipment, you will need to lift the handset before making your selection. Our first question comes from the line of Travis Miller with Morningstar Security Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning, Travis.
I wanted to go a little more into the usage patterns that you're seeing on a weather-adjusted basis, the flat, and what you guys have booked so far in terms of usage growth. Which jurisdictions are you seeing more positive weather-adjusted usage signs, which more negative? And then to the extent that you might be seeing the DSM and conservation programs affecting that, do you think you're fully realizing the lost margin through those riders that you have?
Well, those are all great questions. let me just try to answer your first question. I think the strongest sales that we're seeing are at SPS, you know, based upon the energy-related businesses they have down there. We're also seeing on the CNI side some pretty good pickup in Wisconsin. Again, that's energy-related, but in this case, it's more sand mining, which has really become quite the business in that part of Wisconsin. I think we're seeing some growth in the last quarter with Fiesco and in Colorado. Again, I think that's primarily energy-related. Then when you move to Minnesota, it's been pretty sluggish across the board in both the CNI and residential class. And, Travis, just as a broad stroke, I mean, we are adding residential customers, but the residential usage is definitely less per household than it has been in the past. So that's something we're watching very closely. And maybe that segues into your second part of your question, was the impact of DSM. I mean, you know, it's been pretty attractive for us, and you know, but we do believe it shaves off 70, 80 basis points on our sales growth expectation. And I guess the thing that we continue to analyze is whether or not there's a shadow effect to that that perhaps we're not getting compensated for. But it certainly in Minnesota is pushing us into rate cases pretty quickly. So
I imagine that's one of the key issues then coming up in November you'll address usage.
Yeah, I mean, we have tend to misforecast what sales were going to be. We've been too optimistic, so we'll have to make sure that we temper that optimism coming into this rate case.
Great. It's very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Kit Connellidge with EGC Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Hey, Kit.
So on the Minnesota regulatory process, so Teresa, you mentioned the commission is, I think you said, working on a process that would, I gather, give some clarity on how a multi-year plan would work. Is that how to think of it? Can you give us some color on that?
I mean, you're thinking of it correctly, and in fact, they are going to have a preliminary discussion about that today. So that's exactly right. It's not just for us, but it's for all utilities.
And would you expect that then, you know, they would give you some pretty specific ideas that, well, here you could file, say, for a three-year rate deal, or I mean, what? How should we think of what to expect from what they're doing now?
Well, I mean, Kit, I think it's early to say exactly what would come out of that. Our plan right now is to file the 1 year and then pursue, like we did in Colorado, ultimately a multi-year, potentially as just part of that as we move forward in that case.
Okay. Any idea on when they would have some specifics on multi-year rate making?
Well, comments are due in October, and we'll just proceed through the process in the fourth quarter. So.
Right. And so that, obviously, that should be available. Some sort of feedback from the commission should be available before you file that rate case.
Could be, but our plans are as I indicated, Kit.
Right. Okay. And in Colorado, I think the idea was when you got the three-year deal that then that would help you to manage manage to the revenue outlook that you saw then. Can you give us some idea of how the Colorado business is going in terms of achieving allowed ROE and what the prospect for that is going forward?
Well, I mean, as you recall, we have the 10% parameter, and we'll share above that. But in terms of, you know, we're feeling good that, you know, this is going to provide sufficient revenue relief in terms of meeting our objectives.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Kit, I guess I would add that, you know, that we that all of our jurisdictions, with the exception of Minnesota, probably are going to be in the mid-9s ROEs this year. Minnesota will not be in the nines, which is the reason why we have to file a rate case. I think he's off the line.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Ali Aga with SunTrust. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, Ali.
Hi, Ali.
Hey, Teresa, Ben, when you talk about managing your O&M costs and originally thought that would be, you know, a 3 to 4% escalation, now you're looking at 1% or so, how much of that is a permanent reduction in O&M? How much is sort of timing and temporary, and how should we think about O&M going forward from an escalation perspective?
You know, Ollie, in terms of, you know, O&M just in general, as we go through a year, we have, you know, variations. We move, you know, projects around. In terms of the longer term, we would expect to be more in the, you know, around 3%, potentially 4% range increases. So, you know, this year, as we said, 0 to 1%, and we would expect to get back on track to a 3 to 4% next year or in the future after that.
Okay. And then secondly, could you remind us, if you start off from your 12, you use 12 as a base in terms of your rate base currently across the portfolio and look at the CapEx that you've budgeted for the next 4 to 5 years, what's the underlying annualized rate base growth that CapEx is supporting starting from a 12 base?
Ali, it's less than 7, you know, around 6 or so.
And that is, Teresa, using 12 as a base, right?
Yes.
Okay. And last question, Ben, you alluded to the fact you're going to be earning, you know, mid-9% across every jurisdiction other than Minnesota. Remind us what's embedded in for Minnesota this year, and these are ROEs at the utility, right? We're not talking any corporate leverage, et cetera, on top of that.
Yeah, I was talking about utility ROEs and I mean, I think Minnesota will probably be in the 8% range. I mean, obviously, losing $24 million in property tax hurts. Sales have been continued sluggish in Minnesota. So, you know, that's the reason why it's the laggard.
You know, I'd add to that, Ali, you know, at a consolidated basis, we expect to be just, you know, slightly above 10. So.
Okay, but that's, again, at the corporate?
Okay.
And you know, you've been talking about the lower end of the range, but you've also been talking about better weather, et cetera. Is there a scenario that you could actually go to the higher end of the range as the year progresses, or is it just to, you know, given where we are, that's probably not realistic?
Well, I mean, I think, Ollie, we're giving you the best shot of where we see it now. Clearly, you know, July, we haven't closed the books on July, but weather has been favorable in July. You know, we have some more regulatory proceedings to go through, and we'll keep watching the sale. So I think, you know, I think we'll be in good position to update you better in the third quarter, which is typically when we refine our estimates anyway, because that's our earnings season. So stay tuned.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Paul Fremont with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I guess the first question I have is with South Dakota, what sort of drove their decision for that level of ROE? And, you know, if South Dakota is coming in low, does that have an effect on sort of the surrounding states and their way of thinking about ROE?
Well, I just have to tell you, we totally disagree with the ROE that we were given, and it pushes us right away to filing a rate case again, as Teresa mentioned. And, you know, it's an historic test year, so you've got lag on top of that, and it is disturbing to us. Clearly, we want to see it get better. If it doesn't get better, we'll have to figure out what we're going to do going forward because, I mean, your question is a good one. Capital needs to go where it's being rewarded. And right now, I think it was an unintentional signal, but I think the South Dakota Commission is saying we don't want you to spend money on the infrastructure. That's certainly, when you get that kind of return, that's what it's telling you.
Maybe just to add in terms of, you know, your question about influencing our other jurisdictions to that same level. Obviously, there's pressure on ROEs all over, but do we see that in Minnesota or North Dakota to that degree? Not to that degree outside of just normal pressures on ROEs.
And then I guess my second question is, how does the Minnesota decision on the tax recovery impact your strategy for future settlements? Because obviously under the settlement, you know, the parties, I think, were amenable to allowing you to recover those costs, but, you know, you still got shot down by the commission. So, I mean, does that make it more difficult to settle?
Well, you know, the staff didn't sign off on that. So, you know, ideally we would have had staff sign off. So we'll have to work harder on that going forward. Settlements still make a lot of sense. I mean, we did that in Colorado, and we'll continue to try to do things like that in Minnesota. But we were clearly disappointed.
Thank you very much.
And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. And if you're using speaker equipment, lift the handset before making your selection. Our next question comes from the line of Dan Eggers with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Going back to the Minnesota comments and kind of in the nature of a slower growth environment, what elements do you think are going to be most important to get a multi-year structure done as you kind of lay out a plan with the commission?
Well, I mean, I think the benefits of a multi-year plan from a customer perspective is certainty. And, you know, we kind of it's just a great opportunity to talk about the infrastructure refresh challenge, the need for that, lay that out with stakeholders, get them to understand it, and have them understand what the rate impact is to them. And I don't think that goes away in a low sales environment or a high sales environment. I just like the transparency. Now, on our end, clearly when we know what our revenue is going to be in the next 3 years, I think it positions you better to manage your O&M, manage your capital budgets, and, you know, manage through your revenue expectations. So I think it works for both. Hopefully that answers your question. Did it?
Well, I guess, you know, kind of along the lines of, you know, what sort of, you know, mechanisms do you think need to be in place as far as, you know, kind of revenue protection if a slower volume to offset the higher rate of O&M cost inflation and open-ended property tax and things like that.
Well, like so many other things, there's give and takes. I mean, you know, if you can't agree on what the sales are going to be, one of the things you could do is have some kind of true-up mechanism, maybe a band like we did down in Colorado, where if it gets, you know, it erodes past a certain point or you don't achieve a certain point, you have some kind of mechanism if it's an extreme. I mean, you know, that's part of the settlement process. But typically, if both parties see it differently, there's an opportunity to compromise on some mechanism that doesn't create a windfall or hurt anybody.
Okay, and I guess one other question is kind of on transmission investment. You know, what opportunities are you guys, you know, seeing within the region, you know, as the EPA rules come into effect and we expect to see more coal plant retirement announcements? And in MISO, is that opening up more windows of spending from what's in the plan right now?
You know, I don't know if I don't know if it's going to do that much for transmission, the retirements. I mean, there's, but to answer your question, the opportunities for transmission investment are enormous in all of our territories, and the upper Midwest is no exception. It happens to be where we're further along in the development of those plans, and we're going to spend, what is it, Teresa, close to $4 billion over the next 5 years?
That's correct, out of our $13 billion budget. So it's a pretty robust budget right now.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Michael Bates with D.A. Davidson. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hi. On your guidance, as you talk about the rider revenue expected to be $35 to $45 million higher than last year, do you have the number as far as where you're at mid-year?
Michael, can you restate the question? You were breaking up a little bit there.
Sure. I was wondering, in your guidance, you assume that rider recovery is $35 to $45 million higher than it was in 2011. I'm wondering, do you have the number to kind of show us where you're at mid-year?
Well, I would say we're on track. The biggest variation in terms of that the variance is due to the PSIA, the new rider in Colorado related to gas infrastructure investment. So nothing different in terms of our assumptions from prior quarters around that. So we're not seeing any necessary updates from where we've been.
Okay, great. And then going back to your comments on the brush power assets, and I'm sorry if I missed this earlier, but when do you expect to put those into PSCo's rate base?
We expect the transaction to close the early part of next year.
All right, and you would expect it to immediately go into the retail rate base then?
Well, I mean, I
think closing.
Typically, you know, remember, it's under a PPA right now. So embedded in our rates right now is a capacity recovery.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back to Teresa for any closing comments.
I want to thank you for all for participating in our second quarter earnings call this morning. If you have any follow-up questions, Paul Johnson and the IR team are available to take your calls. Thanks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the Xcel Energy conference call. If you'd like to listen to a replay of today's conference, it will be available for the next 24 hours by dialing 303-590-3030 or 1-800-406-7325 with the access code of 454-8947. ACT would like to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.